Why? Tell me why. Tell me more. Tell me why. Tell me why, why. You know, if you look up what the definition of the word why means, it's for what reason or purpose, for what reason or purpose. You know, from a very young age, kids in the beginning start asking questions. 2 to 3 years old, they start asking questions. What's that? Where's mom? Where's dad? What's to eat? Four-year-olds get to a point where they ask questions every 2 minutes, asking why, out of curiosity, rapid brain development to understand what's around them. The why helps make connections, explore concepts, learn new information. Weird questions that get asked. A Google, I like this one. You know, there's 90,000 searches a month on Google, someone asking Google, am I pregnant? Not sure why you ask Google, but I guess some people think Google might know. Now, the next one's even better. 50,000 searches a month on this one question. Does farting burn calories? Can you believe it? I don't know. Another popular search on Google, am I a psycho? Fourth most popular, one of the popular things on search on Google, why does my boss hate me? Questions, why, start from a very young age. And as we, at a very young age, start to grow, questions change. Where did I come from? Who am I? Why am I here? How should I live? Where am I going? If you were to think spiritual questions, what is salvation? Who is God? Does the Bible still apply today? Why does God allow bad things to happen? Our why. From a very young age up to this moment, we all have a why question. We all have why moments. We have why questions. We have why moments. What is the reason? What is the purpose? And so today, as we start a new theme, the question is, I wonder what your why is today. What is your why today? And with that, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 1. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the deep waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, the darkness night. Evening passed and the morning came, marking the first day. Verse 6, then God said, let there be space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth. And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky. Evening passed, morning came, marking the second day. Then God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so dry ground may appear. And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land, and the waters seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant, and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came. And this is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants, trees with seed-bearing fruit. Seeds produce plants and trees of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Evening passed, morning came, marking the third day. Verse 14, then God said, let lights appear in the sky to separate the days from night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons and days and years. Let the lights in the sky shine down on the earth. And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day, smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights into the sky to light the night, to light the earth, to govern the day and the night, to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Evening passed and morning came, marking the fourth day. Verse 20, God said, let the water swarm with fish and other kind of life, and let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. God created sea creatures and every kind of living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply. Let all the fish of the seas, let the birds multiply in the earth. Evening passed, morning came, marking the fifth day. Verse 24, God said, let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind. livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, wild animals. And that is what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, small animals, each capable to produce offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make humans, beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, all the small animals that scurry along the ground." God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Why? 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 For what reason? For what purpose? Why? You know, for different reasons and different seasons, people have believed in a God or made up a God for a different reason in their heart, mind, and soul. In the beginning, years and years and years and years ago, there was people who, when they needed rain, when rain came, then they believed there was a rain God. Lightning, thunder, you know, the birth of a child. Different things in the very beginning that men and women didn't understand. They attached a God to the things that they didn't understand. So many different things that happened, so many different places, things that they didn't understand. They placed a name, God, and attached to something they did not understand. As a kid, we know, as I read in the beginning, that at a very young age, we start asking questions 2 to 3 years old. They start to escalate at 4 to the questions become very rapid. And then those questions, over and over, they grow, they expand, they become deeper over time. And so we see that from the beginning of the time, people have believed from the very beginning there was a God. From your very birth, from your very existence, from the very time at a young age, did you believe there's a God? And why did you believe there's a God? If you believed in a God, and maybe you believed in many gods, because some people think it's okay to believe in multiple gods, as there's multiple religions out there, from a very young age, and even up to this point, some people still don't understand, and they're still asking why. They don't fully understand, and they're asking, why God? Why? Why me? Why now? You know, time changes. Things have advanced. We know that through war, through sickness and plagues, you know, there's been over 12,000 different battles plus in time. Over 12,000 different battles. And how many men and women, parents, wives, husbands have lost loved ones in battle? And it's horrible. Many people have turned to God, we know, because they're afraid to die. Some people have turned to God because there was a lack, there was a need. So we, from the very beginning, have been fighting. And it was one of the questions that people ask Google all the time. Why did God allow so many wars and battles? You know, we as people, we fight all the time. If you go to school, you go to high school, there's fights all the time. I heard Thursday night at Hemet High, there was a big fight, like 10, 15 kids getting in a fight. Did God tell them to get in a fight? No, I think they decided to do that on their own. Right? They didn't like each other. People have been fighting from the beginning of time. Does God make people fight? No. Did God order war at some point, different times? Yes. But doesn't mean that God's to blame for every war and battle. You know that through sickness, there's smallpox and malaria, TB, that has claimed so many lives over time. Heart disease, cancer, accidents, and we know that COVID, and many have turned to God because they were afraid of getting sick, afraid of dying a death. I don't want to get cancer and die. I don't want to get COVID and die. Many people, they do so many things out of the fear of death. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want to lose my life. I don't want this to be it. I don't want COVID to end me. I don't want cancer to end me. I don't want heart disease to end me. And so some people will turn to God in prayer because they don't want to get sick. I don't want to die. I don't want to get sick. So God, help me. Over the years, we've had thousands of different famines in our world, so many different food shortages. And how many people, when there's no food on the table, how many people have then cried out to God because they had no food to put inside their tiny, we all have tiny little bellies, right? How many people over time have come to God because I don't have or I can't feed my kids, there's no food, and so God help me. As we look and we think through different things we're seeing, different people come to God for different reasons. Why? Why? A reason or purpose? A reason or purpose. Many turn to God, we see then, because there's a lack or a need for something. Many turn to God because something tragic has happened. And so I need to turn to God because I have nowhere else to go. Tragedy causing me, us, people, to turn to God. The fear of to be without someone or something causes many of us in our hearts to look up. There's so many tragedies. When 9/11 happened, I don't know if you remember, people started flocking back to church. There was two airplanes that crashed into two buildings in New York, and there was massive thousands of people who died. And so then after that point, people started going back to church, and people started praying, and people started coming together. Again, because of tragedy, because of death, people started turning back to God. You know, some people have read the Bible. There's a guy named Lee Strobel who read the Bible. His purpose was to prove that the Bible was wrong and inaccurate. And so he studied the Bible, went through from the beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation. And after studying it, after going through it over and over and over again, you know what happened? Instead of proving what his heart wanted to do, that the Bible was wrong, he became a believer. We've seen through time that people, they've seen God perform miracles, healings, provisions. There's no human that could have done this. It was only God. People's lives who were spared from death and spared from certain situations. And so they turned their lives to God through a positive note, from reading the Bible, from a healing, from a miracle. But today, unfortunately, there are people who are leaving God, faith in God, trust in God, for all different reasons. Life has drastically changed in 2025. 2025, a perfect cube number, a special year that it's set to be. For people, many don't feel that they need God anymore. And so we listed a number of different reasons why people, through time, through seasons, had turned their heart to God. Most of it was from a lack of need, or out of fear of something or losing something. And then on the other side of the coin, we saw there was people who turned their life to God through time because something good happened. But what happens when good things stop taking place? What happens when you turn your life to God, maybe for one thing and one purpose, maybe one person, and it gets better than people, that one thing that seemed to kind of get better? Now I don't need God so much. What happens if we turned our life to God because we saw somebody get healed, but 20 years later you haven't seen another person get healed? You base your life because you saw a miracle, but maybe you never saw another miracle again. So then have you continued to believe at the rate you did 20 years prior when you first saw that? Today, people are leaving God, their faith in God, churches, faster than they ever have before. Why? Why? The definition of why, for a reason or purpose. And you don't want to know why? Because many people, they are selfish. That's correct. Hot stuff. My wife gave me one of my answers in there. Thank you. Why have people left the church? Why are people leaving God? Because people first originally turned to God for their own selfish reason or gain instead of turning to God for the right reason. I only want God for what I can get. I only want God if he gives me what I need. It's the same thing in marriages. Marriages fail all over the world today. Why? Because people, they're going to walk away from marriage if they're not getting what they need anymore. They got married because they had needs, and if those needs don't get met, then I don't need to be married anymore. I don't need God anymore. Why? I got a good doctor. I got a good psychiatrist. And you know what I got more than all those? I got a phone that has Google, and Google can give me the answers for what I'm looking for. With the rise of information, the speed that we could have at our fingertips to be able to learn anything at any moment in a given second just by typing, however fast your fingers can type, you can learn something. And so how many people, I don't need to pray anymore. Go to Google. I don't need to pray and ask God. Right? How many people in the old days, you know, some of our parents, they lived through a great famine that hit America, that hit this country. And so they had and went through a lack of food. For those people who went through in that time in that famine and had that lack of food, their hearts, when there was a surplus of food and they were believers, you know what they did? They thanked God for that food, because they saw what it meant to have nothing. They were thankful, and they learned to be thankful because they saw what it meant to have nothing. We have so many sources of information today, and people are leaving God and they're leaving church because their why has changed. My why has changed. Why is my reason and my purpose and my source? I love coffee. But coffee is not the source of my life. I truly do enjoy 5-6 cups of coffee, usually every single morning. And though it does help me get going sometimes, it is not the absolute source of my life 24/7. It's not my why. It's not my why. God, his purpose, his plan, his direction is the purpose and should be the purpose of our life. But I wonder this morning, what's your why? What is your why? What is your reason? What is your purpose? How many people do we know today that don't need God? You know, many people today fall short. Many people fall into God for one reason or another, and then just as easy as they fall into God for one reason or another, they fall right back out of God. Just like today we see, you know, if you were to go to junior high or even high school, how many kids, they fall in love for a day and then the next day they hate that person, right? They fall in love, or so they say it's love, and then they fall out of love. So many people have fallen in love, they say, with God when God gives them and meets all of their need. But when they don't have those needs met, then they fall right back out of love with God for all the same reasons. Going after God, because for some reason, for some people, God can be a genie. Just rub his lamp, or maybe this is supposed to be God's lamp, and let me just rub it. And God, this is what I need today. God, this is what I want today. But the truth is, God is real. The truth is, this morning, God created the world. Everyone, though, unfortunately, even though God is truth, God is real, everybody wants to make up what their own truth is to them. There is right, there is wrong. When you're talking with a police officer, your own truth in your head, no matter if you felt like you had a good reason to be speeding, he does not care. If he thinks you were going too fast, he's going to give you a what? A ticket, right? But today, people, what we do, we want to make our own truth. Instead of just reading, listening to what the Bible says and following and learning to obey to the best that we can, I will just take a part of the Bible that I like, a part that sounds good, a part of a truth, and then I'm going to mix it up to fit fits my life, to fits my desires, and you know what? Fits my sin. It's just like, how many of us have clothes, maybe from five years ago, 10 years ago, and no matter how hard we try, now sometimes all of us in here, we're all in great shape. We'll just say that, okay? But if you pull out an offer from 10 years ago, it may not fit the way you would like it to. It may not look the same way it did 10 years ago, where you thought you looked really good 10 years ago. But why do we take the Bible, and we want to take the Bible, and we want to make the Bible fit into what I want, into my sin, into my desires? God, I will believe and I will follow, and I'll go to church when it fits into my lifestyle. God, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to do what's right when it feels comfortable and right for me. When it's comfortable and right for the people around me. I'm going to take a verse. I'm going to cut it into pieces. I'm going to take this word, God. I'm going to place it with another word here. And I'm going to make kind of my own sense, my own truth that makes me feel comfortable. So I started this morning our new theme, why? I started at the beginning. God is creator. God created the heavens and the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the land, the water, the trees, the animals, the human beings. What's interesting to know about our planet, do you know that it is, and I know that we want to really discover if there's really aliens. I know that that bothers a lot of us here, and it bothers a lot of people. And we really want to know the life source that is all over the world. But up to this date still, we know that there's no other planet like the planet Earth. There's no other planet. Now, let's just think about this logically and with our educated brains for a minute. We have not found another planet like ours. We are the one special planet with special people. There is nobody like us, and we know that, right? Because we're the one and only. There's nobody like us. There's nothing that we can find like planet Earth. And people want to say it happened by chance. It happened because two planets collided together, and bang, here's this beautiful one planet, Earth, that matches nothing. People want to say that over millions of years, we have evolved from slime. Though there is time where slime may come out of us, they want to tell us and believe that we came from slime and it took millions of years. Because this one perfect planet, Earth, there is nothing like it. There's nothing like this planet. There's nothing like the Earth's atmosphere. The Earth's atmosphere, it's not too thin, it's not too thick. It gives the source to be able to breathe, to regulate temperature. The Earth's distance from the sun makes life livable. If the Earth got any closer to the sun, we would burn up and die. If the Earth backed up a little bit, we would all freeze and die. The moon, the beautiful moon that God has given to us, it prevents extreme shifts and seasons. The moon that God has given to us gives us stability. But yet, no matter how many good things are stated about this planet, how many nice people want to warp our brains, warp our kids' brains in school, in colleges, by stating, though this planet is unique, though it's amazing, the sun, the moon, perfectly situated, all the different things that are perfect, perfect for us. They want to say that we came here to existence by some other way. You know, humans, our brains are so complex. The ability to understand and process these supercomputers, for humans to be able to connect the way that we do through one another. For humans, we're the only ones on this planet that cry and blush. Crying is such a beautiful thing, right? There's unique things that identify every one of us. Our tongue print, our fingerprint, and our eyes define this one individual, and no other individual can be me, because God has given every single person a unique tongue print, fingerprint, and eye. There's no matching. Even twins do not have the same tongue print, fingerprint, and eyes. Our human eyes are biological supercomputers, providing the brain with such flow of information. The eyes and the fingerprints that give us our identity and who we are. Our identity and who we are. And many people still don't understand why. Many people don't know how to believe and what to believe. Because we have a lot of yahoos. We have a lot of supposedly educated men and women who are really just the devil dressed up either in a nice suit or a nice dress, and they want to sway the way that people believe or why we believe. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, yes, what is our why? But what is the foundation that I've built my life upon? Many people, their foundation is what their parents gave them, right? So usually that comes from race, religion, what we believe, where you live in a neighborhood, how much money and status you have, what kind of jobs parents have. Most people's foundation for life came from parents and how they lived and who they are and what they did. The foundation, 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 foundation. But my question this morning is, what's your foundation for what you believe? There's unique things in your humanness that God gave only to you. But what's your foundation for why you believe? There's unique things in the creation that God made. But what's our foundation and why I believe? Do I believe because someone told me if I don't believe, I'm going to go to hell? There are men, there are women who use manipulation, even in the Bible, to get people to do certain things, to try and control and manipulate. And we don't want to judge, right? There are lots of pastors out there that use manipulation, their power and control, to try and control the people. We don't judge. You know why? Because inside every one of us, sometimes we try to manipulate and control situations, right? So don't be go start judging people who do the wrong thing with the Bible sometimes, because inside every one of us, sometimes we try to manipulate and control other people. The foundation. Did I believe because my parents told me to believe? Did I believe because someone said, if I don't ask Jesus in my heart, I'm going to die and go to hell? Do I believe because someone said I was going to walk outside of church, get hit by a bus, and I'm going to die and go to hell? Do I believe because I lost something, or I lost someone, and I had nowhere else but God, so I believe? Do I believe because I'm afraid to die? I'm afraid of what happens next, so God help me. Do I believe because I'm afraid to be a failure? I don't want to be a failure, and God's the only one who can help me. What is the correct foundation that God wants us to build our life upon? Let's go. Starts real simple and easy. God is real. God is true. There is no one and there is nothing like God. There is no one and there is nothing like God. There is nothing. There is no one like God. And so this morning as we start to wrap up, I got a couple other verses and then we'll pull it together and close. Genesis 12:1. Genesis 12:1, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you famous. You'll be a blessing to others. I'll bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and his nephew Lot went with them. Abram was 75 years old when he left for Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all his wealth, his livestock, all the people he took into the household at Haran, and he headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as Shem. They set up camp beside the Oak of Moreh, and at that time, the area was inhabited by the Canaanites. And so there was two main texts that I read this morning. One was defining the creation of the world, and the second one here is the calling of a man named Abram. And so we look at what is our why, what's my why, what's your why, what's the thing and the reason why you stand every single day. No one has a gun to your head. No one has a gun to your head. But what is the reason you stand? What is the reason you speak? What is the reason you live? What is the reason you stand to speak the truth and to help another person in life? What is the reason? What is the purpose that I am here? Who I am? Why I walk and talk? Why I am the person that I am? What is my why? And if my why is not based on the two texts that we read, number one, God is my creator. I didn't come from slime. I didn't come from two planets colliding. I didn't evolve from a monkey. God made me and put me together. My life starts with the very beginning, very first book of the Bible, Genesis. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And there's no one who's going to change my mind and my thought patterns on the very beginning and the very foundation of my life, that God is my creator. But the minute that I state God is a creator, not the gods, not the whole gang of gods, not the whole group of gods, that there is one God, and if there's one God and he's the creator, well, now that I admit that, I now become accountable to this right here, the story. And if I'm accountable to this story right here, is my why lining up with this why? Is my why, what I do every day, where I go, what I do, who I talk about, is my attitude, every part of my life, is it lining up with the why of this? If I believe that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, if I believe that God gave his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me, to forgive my sins, if I believe what it says in the story, then when I go to school, when I go home, when I go to work, when I play, wherever I go, whatever I do, is my why, my reason, my purpose, is it lining up with the why of God's word? God created the world, the heavens, and the earth. Our second text, there was a man called Abram. And God called out to him. You know what he said? I want you to come follow me to a place somewhere over here. Take your family, take what you got, leave everything else, and come follow me. What was unique about this situation? What was unique about Abram? You remember at this time, everybody wanted to associate something good or unexplainable with what? A god. The rain, the sun, the moon, the stars. And so when God calls out to Abram and he says, come follow me to an unknown place, this was an unknown God to an unknown place. There's nothing that you can associate at this moment. He was saying, I want you to 100% believe in what I'm asking you to do. And trust me, you're going to go to places that you have no idea where you're going. No idea what's going to happen. But you have to trust me. God is my creator. Then I put my life in his hands and trust to say, God, wherever you want to go, whatever you want to do, you are my God. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, listen, it says in Deuteronomy 6:4, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your heart and on your gates. God created us, and just as God called Abram, he's calling you. God created us, God's calling us. God created us, God's calling us. But is he my why? Did I believe at some point in him out of a lack, out of a need, out of fear of loss? Because someone told me if I didn't, I'm going to go to hell, and I'm going to get beat up, and I'm going to sit with the devil the rest of my life? Or is God my why? Because I know he's real, he's true, and he's the foundation of my very life and core. God is my why. God created you. God called you. And even though we hear it, and even though we see it, even though we talk about it, doesn't mean that every one of us, that God is my why. You know why? Because most of us, it's got to be perfect. Everything has to be right and in order before God's my why. I need to be rich, wealthy, and I need to be this, this, and this before God's my why. I need to be healthy and strong before God's my why. All my family, all my kids, everything's got to be right and perfect. Everything's got to be in order. And then God is my why. And the thing that I love about the Bible, you see that the people in here, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in here. And out of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in here, there was only one man who was perfect. The rest were imperfect in imperfect situations, doing the best they could to follow their why in God. Nothing in life will be perfect. There's going to be more tragedy. There's going to be more sicknesses that come. There's going to be more famines and earthquakes. The end of the world is coming. Sounds like a great movie. It's already out. Doesn't matter what's coming. Doesn't matter what's happening. But what matters is God truly this morning the why of your life? The reason, the purpose. And if God isn't the why of your life, you know what's going to happen? I don't want to tell you, but it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. Why believe in God? Why follow? Don't just take it from me. Don't just take it from me. Take it from him. Take it from here. Take it from everything that has been said and done. Look, watch, read, and see for yourself like Lee Strobel did. It's true. It's true. The story, it's absolutely true. There is no other God. There is no other religion. There is no other book or Bible that compares to this one. God is my why. And that's what I have to stand on every single day. Is that what we stand on? Or when we get a bad call, do we freak out? Or when something becomes imperfect, do we freak out? Or we just don't feel comfortable or right about something, we start to freak. If God's our why, we know he's in control and he's got us covered. Is God our why? Is he your why? Is God your why? Is God our why? Our reason and our purpose. Welcome to our new theme as we move forward and going forward for a little while, maybe days, maybe weeks, maybe years, just kidding. But at least for now, we're in a new theme. Why? Why God? Why me? Why now? Why? And is he 100% everything that I live for? 100% everything that I stand for? When I'm at work, when I'm at school, when I'm at home, everywhere I go. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. Don't judge my imperfections, because we all got them. But God is my why. Is he yours this morning? Let's pray.